The time is 1:35. The date is 9 March 1983. The place is room 124, the judiciary hearing room, located in the capital of Juneau, Alaska. Present for the hearing today.
It's the bug beginning.
All committee members are present with the exception of Representative Hayes and Representative Malone. An issue today is the further discussion of EO 54 and HB 103, one's an executive order, the other one is a House bill that deal with the establishment of a separate Department of Corrections within the state of Alaska. Mr. Endell, who is envisioned soon to be the new director of the division, however created, is present here today, and it's my intention to make this meeting very short. I think we debated and re-debated and run round and round and round on the corrections issue to the point where philosophically the committee agrees that that we ought to have or at least I'd hope philosophically we agree that the Department of Corrections, when created, would be a total Department of Corrections, one that would include everybody adjudicated before the bar, or one that was inclusive of the youth services. And Mr. Endell, if you just join us for a minute. Correct me if I'm wrong as I go along. It's my information that we'll have from you within the next two or three days a general estimate of the operational expenses you'll need to operate the Department of Corrections so put together, through this year.
Yeah, my understanding was that you wanted information on the costs and so on to pick up these new facilities and new sites. It looks like it's going to be into next week before I can have them, but we are working on it right now.
Okay,
we're having some communication problems.
As long as it's not going to be a month, because the 17th of this month is the day that we must dispose of EO 54, and I don't want to get caught into a crack of having disposed of that and then sitting waiting, and I sure want to catch you up in one either.
Yes, I think it's in our best interest to get that information to you as quickly as we can, and that's what we're trying to do.
And we've talked to, our staff has talked to the state of Washington, and we'd like to see that model legislation that up here in the meantime as quickly as we get it. It's my understanding that you'd like to see it too, so we'll share that with you as quick as we can. It'll take drafting, working with the commissioner and us, two or three days to draft a proper committee substitute to contain the transfer of the date. One of the things we need to know about it is the effective date. The 103 has an effective date of 1 July now. As long as we're seeking to try to accommodate whatever new department that is to bring that along, what kind of date are you comfortable with if we include it in that?
I think that should also be honor after July 1. Right. The House bill, the executive order effective date is April 1. House Bill 103 was July 1, and if you are considering amending that to include youth corrections, then July 1 would be about right, assuming that, well, I'm making assumptions, but assuming that April 1 would become a department, that would give us roughly 3 months to get ready to accept the transfer in of youth corrections. And that would be about right.
Okay, I guess I didn't get that said right. I meant to imply that anyway, that we'd have to change 103 to April 1 to pick the executive order date out for the creation of the department and about July 1 then to bring the youth corrections along.
Right.
There's no sense in us creating legislative something that you can't live with beforehand.
Now that would be very simple, Mr. Chairman, because then the new fiscal year starts then. It would be easy just to move these people under a new administrative head and that we'd be in business.
Are there other comments by committee members, Representative Foxy?
Well, we seem to be moving fairly fast, at least as far as I'm concerned. I'm not sure that, at least in my mind, we've had anything more than superficial discussion about the specific question of youth corrections and where it ought to go. And if it's the intent of the committee to prepare a committee substitute that in fact does that, I guess I have several questions about that. Is that appropriate at this time?
I think so. If you get substance that we can deal with, we'll try to deal with the committee substitute. There's virtually no way, I can tell you right now, that we can right now deal with what might be handled by regulation in a new department. And in fact, I would shy way away from trying to legislate so many controls on to the new department for whatever reason without, you know, some performance on their part.
Well, I guess it's just not clear to me what exactly is it you're proposing to move from the Department of Health and Social Services to the new Department of Corrections. Is it the Division of Family and Youth Services? The term used by Mr. Endell just now was youth corrections. Of course, there is no such thing by that name in the Department of Health and Social Services. So what exactly is it we're talking about moving?
All adjudicated juveniles only, not unadjudicated juveniles.
Well, what happens if they're adjudicated and then placed in a foster home? Or what happens if they're adjudicated and placed back in their own home, which occurs? And this adjudication doesn't necessarily end them up in an institution.
If I can respond to that, first of all we'd be doing is rehearsing what was previously taken at, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. All it would do is pick up, within the Division of Family and Youth Services, I believe it's called, there is this unit called Youth Corrections, and that deals with kids who have been adjudicated by the court and sentenced to either probation supervision or to incarceration. And that's the population that would conceivably transfer.
Well, let me, if I can continue, I would be happy if it were that simple, but it's not my understanding that it is. I sit on the Finance Subcommittee that deals with Health and Social Services. We've had a number of briefings that have addressed that division specifically and other youth services. Let me just, maybe the easiest way is just to read a paragraph that sort of summarizes the youth services category that's in the Division of Family and Youth Services. And if this is correct, and I assume it is because it's written by the people that are running that program, the lines that you've just described start getting a little blurry. The youth services programs may generally be divided into three categories: community services, detention services, and institutional treatment services. Community services include intervention, diversion, and probation services, one of which you just mentioned, as well as community-based foster and group home placements. Detention services include the provisions of secure confinement for juveniles following their arrest and awaiting adjudication or disposition, which means some of them are in a institution prior to an adjudication. Institutional treatment, the third category, includes the programs at McLaughlin, Fairbanks, and Nome youth facilities and the services attendant to those facilities. You've picked, in your short description, picked one from each of those three categories to describe as what you foresee is going to go in the Department of Corrections. That seems to me awfully confusing, since that's not the way they're divided up in the Division of Family and Youth Services now. That is, probation is clearly a part of one segment. Those who have been arrested but are in an institution prior to adjudication are in another segment. And then, of course, the facilities themselves after adjudication. I guess I need a little more specificity about what's going in and what's not. For example, probation services. Are we planning on actually transferring probation services to your department despite the fact we're going to keep foster and group home placements, which is what they are often when they're on probation? That's going to be in the division?
I can answer that very simply. Anybody found delinquent by the courts would come under the authority of the Department of Corrections, just as they were previously under the Division of Corrections. If they're not found delinquent, then they are not the business of the Department of Corrections.
Okay, if they're delinquent, but not institutionalized, because a determination has been made that's not the best thing, they enter into a whole series of community-based services, foster homes, group homes, in-home placements, so on. You're going to run all those under your proposal?
No, they're not delinquent. If they're found
I'm
delinquent.
Telling you, they've just been found delinquent, but the decision
are.
Not to put them in an institution.
Then they would be out.
So you're going to propose to transfer all of those services,
yes.
And the people involved in all those services. Is that your intention as well?
That is, again, exactly the way it was managed since statehood.
Well, I wasn't in the legislature, and I didn't know how it ran. But, it just seems to me that there are some specific programs that are going on in the department now with regard to dealing with community-based programs for youthful offenders, and if we're in fact going to peel that all off and put it in corrections, I'm asking questions about whether those programs, demonstration projects are going to continue,
what the emphasis of the department's going to be, the new department, with regard to those services.
Donnie, are you concerned that the change of the administrators going from one department to another, they wouldn't be successful?
Well,
I
thought we established yesterday that it isn't quite that simple. You don't just transfer a new name to Mr. Endell and let him take that stuff over.
There's the breaking apart of two budgets. And we established, I thought, yesterday that there were some problems with how it was being done already, breaking apart those two budgets. And there are some detailed questions. Maybe they're financial questions. That would be dealt with by finance. But the fact is that they're also substantive because they have to do with the implementation of programs that are being operated. And as we established yesterday, some people are going to stay in the Department of Health and Social Services. Some people are going to stay in the new, or be transferred to the new department. And I guess I'm just concerned that we're going to lose some of the effective services that are being provided to youthful offenders because we're transferring them to a corrections department that may or may not have that same commitment to those services.
See, I have exactly the opposite feeling. I think those services are going to be enhanced, better run, and that a greater benefit will occur to the state of Alaska. Jerking them out of hands and putting them in the Department of Corrections where they belong.
What evidence that's been presented to this committee supports that conclusion?
Well, I'm not sure there's any evidence. It never will be, no matter what happens. I just have that feeling that that's what's going to happen.
With all due respect, the only committee that heard this issue was the House Hess Committee, and they sent us a bill that didn't transfer youthful corrections. That leads me to believe that whatever testimony they heard caused them to conclude that it shouldn't be transferred, at least not at this time. July 1st, as far as I'm concerned, is at this time. I mean, that's a delay of a couple of months.
As I understand their testimony, nobody testified against moving it. It was the timing in the move, so that it didn't all go at once, if I remember, or if I get the picture right. There was philosophical agreement, if I understand it there, that it probably should go, but it should follow at a later date than the establishment of
Well, I happen to have just checked with at least one member of that committee, and that's clearly not his understanding. In fact, the only testimony we had yesterday on the point was directly in opposition to that, of course.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Mr. Endell, do you have any information from other states? All I'm trying to do is establish here, does it work in other states? We're starting off on a right foot here on this issue in Alaska.
That's a difficult point to answer because there's probably 50 different systems, and they really are different. In some locations, you have a totally separate youth services area that is not in any other department. It's totally separate. Sometimes they're in corrections, sometimes they're in other locations. But I'll give you a practical example that we were just discussing this morning. We have a new Ketchikan jail facility, which will be coming online in about a month. If we put any kids in that jail, it will take up 12 bunks, that is, it will require, because of the sight and sound law, we can't have kids in the sight and sound of adults. It will require that we give up 12 bunks or beds that could be used by adults in order to house that one child. So I said that to the other folks that we cannot house any children in that new jail. Well, that means that they've got to go find some other housing somewhere, and that really throws them in a bit of a bind. What I said was, welcome to the club. We've been in those binds all along. But it does cause those kinds of problems. Now, what we have are two different agencies working on the same kind of problem, and we get some duplication of effort and some additional cost because of it. And this is one example. Probation officers, where typically we can have one who worked with both adults and juveniles, now apparently we have to have two, one who specializes in juvenile work. There are those kinds of divisions, although
there are philosophical differences, I suppose. We can maintain those. I don't see anything being pulled back. I don't see us taking advantage of whatever resources that the
Division of Youth Services would have, youth corrections, whatever we want to call it. It works both ways, to be perfectly honest with you. And as I said yesterday, this is not an official position of state or the executive branch. It's my personal position that I think it would be more effective if it were all under one administrative head. These are all law violators. The only thing that separates kids from adults is their age. Some of the crimes that are being committed are the same.
Matter of fact, some crimes are much more violent committed by youth. I think that we ought to try to keep kids out of jail as much as possible. We know from looking at national statistics, the earlier a kid goes into jail and the longer he's kept there, the more likely it is he'll be an adult offender. So we want to try to divert and get these kids taken care of as expeditiously as possible without locking them up. If we can do that, some need locking up. No doubt about it.
Mr. Chairman, this is something new, what you're trying to institute in our state here. And I'm not too familiar, but since I'm originally from Ohio, is some of the setups they have down there. Now, down there, if I recall, each county has what they call a reform school for our youth offenders. Each county, 88 counties in the state. Of course, I don't know who it likely. I don't know. I just asked you if you had any information on how other states operate. But that is a setup that they use under that state for their youth violators, you see. Now, I would assume here, if this can be instituted in Alaska, that the McLaughlin Youth Center would still maintain its setup, but would come under your jurisdiction as the Director of Corrections. Instead of being administered by the Health and Social Services under the Commissioner, it'd be administered by you. Read the exception of a foster home individual. I can't see the difference. So they are a law violator. They wouldn't be there in the first place.
We also have placed people in foster home situations, those who get probation, for example. So that doesn't eliminate that at all. As a matter of fact, it puts all institutions in one administrative unit. That is, all institutions for people who break the law.
What do we have around the state now, Roger, in regards to, we got McLaughlin and Anchorage. What else do we have in the system now which handles youth? What do we have in Fairbanks?
There's McLaughlin, there's a youth center with some detention and program space in Fairbanks, and there's a small unit in Nome. There's a proposal been made by Health and Social Services to build yet another one in Ketchikan. I've been pretty much opposed to that because they average one juvenile offender at any given time, and I don't think it's worthwhile to spend even $2 million for a facility to house one youthful offender. The Johnson Center out the road here also works with an average of maybe two kids at any one time. But, you know, what I'm saying is that we have worked for several years to get the kids out of our adult jails. That's important. But the other thing is, we shouldn't build substitute jails just for kids. We've got a couple of those that are working sufficiently. What we do need is probation officers and youth workers who really do work with the kids closely and try to keep them out of trouble. Those that get into serious trouble, we have institutions for them.
Representative
Foxon?
I don't know, I'm sort of winging it here because it's sort of a surprise to me that we're going to now transfer youth corrections. But again, from this, just some statistics to indicate to you that, and this is from the department, they indicate that there are five youth that are in McLaughlin right now that are subject to charges for murder. And those are serious cases, and no one doubts that. But that's five out of 1,473 kids in FY82 that were detained in some manner, either pre-adjudication or after, in institutional facilities in the state. Now, not all those kids are murderers. Some of them just aren't going to school or are drinking. There are relatively minor offenses that indicate other types of problems rather than if you will, a criminal lifestyle, a social problem. And I guess that to say that we're going to transfer the youthful corrections over to the Department of Corrections because we've got a lot of youth that are just like adults and therefore they have to be treated like that, I think is not borne out by the statistics.
The other thing is that there's a chart in here that indicates that the cost of institutional care for a juvenile, if they go into an institution, and obviously this is an average based on the type of institution, is approximately $110 a day. The cost for foster care or other community-based placement for that child is about $17 a day. Now, my concern is that by transferring these kids, not only the five murderers, but the 1,468 non-murderers, over into adult corrections, basically, or into a department of corrections, we're going to be increasing the institutionalization of those kids. And I'm not sure that that makes sense either as a social solution or financially, because it costs, whatever that is, 8 times more to institutionalize it. So I'm concerned about that. Let me read again from this department position, which is their budget submission, with regard to juvenile corrections, and I apologize. Apparently they do refer to it as juvenile corrections. They didn't earlier on. Since December 1980, confinement, rehabilitation, and probation programs for delinquent minors have been administered by the Division of Family and Youth Services in conjunction with other programs serving youth and families, placing responsibility for all juvenile services in the Division of Family and Youth Services was recommended by the Division of Legislative Audit in its September 1979 report on a performance review of juvenile confinement programs. The department, this is the Department of Health and Social Services, continues to support the present organizational structure for the administration of confinement and rehabilitative programs for delinquent minors. Future efforts will continue to emphasize improved coordination and efficiency of efforts to provide a continuum of services to youths and families. I just like to see what evidence there is that rebuts the determination by the legislature and by the Division of Legislative Audit in 1979 that they ought to be in the Division of Family and Youth Services. What evidence do we have other than a sort of an instinctive feeling that because some of them are like adult criminals, we ought to put them in an adult system? What evidence is there?
I might ask you what evidence have you got that it's not going to work?
I have a 1979 Division of Legislative Audit recommendation and a policy decision made in December 1980 by this legislature and the administration to transfer them to Division of Family and Youth Services. I would submit that there's got to be some evidence the other way in order to change that.
Well, it's my intention to draw a committee substitute that will contain those things and will handle it in the best and most complete way that we possibly can. There's no way that we can provide in the legislation for every doormat, and I can't make out Mr. Randell's budget for this, but once that's traveled, if it's transferred, he's going to fall under the same preview that anybody else would right now. It has to do with budgets and performance constraints, and I just think the budget and performance constraints are going to look better under the Department of Corrections than they are right now under this. That's my opinion.
Okay, even though we've heard no testimony.
Well, let's get the CS up here and let's see, maybe we can draw enough support out to convince you along the way. It's going to take us a few days to get it.
Let me ask just one question on it. Are you intending to transfer youth of all ages if they've been determined delinquent?
Yeah.
Good luck.
There's any with you?
I guess I'd like... I think there's some overriding concerns that are involved in Representative Fox's testimony. I guess I'd like to hear your response on how you are going to deal with those, not only those concerns, but the programs. And given Representative Fritz's testimony yesterday on the dual purposes, how are you going to deal with that?
Dual purposes, I'm sorry.
Well, in terms of not just penalizing, but the rehabilitation, or in this case,
quite frankly, a different
emphasis with children, in my mind, than it would be with adults.
Quite frankly, I don't see any change whatsoever. The same people, the same organizational structure, and so on, would merely slide over under a new administrative heading. It remains a division, as it is now, although I'm not sure that's an official name, but it is a Division of Youth Correction. That's how I would intend to set it up, separate and apart, and it operates alone, separate from adult corrections everywhere. The implication that there would be more institutionalization is untrue. As I tried to say a moment ago, I'm opposed to institutionalizing any more juveniles than we absolutely have to. I think it's wrong. We know that time after time, and this is true in Alaska as well as everywhere, that as we build more beds, we fill them. And one of the ways to keep kids out of institutions is not to have a lot of excess space available for them. For those who are serious criminals and do serious damage, we will always have space. But the Correctional Master Plan in 1978 recommended absolutely that we build no more juvenile beds in the state. And for whatever reasons, both the executive and legislative branches went ahead and built a new Fairbanks detention facility, now they're in a position asking to expand it. And that will continue. There'll be requests before you to build a catch-can facility. I don't think that that's necessary, at least not the kind of facility that I think they're going to be requesting. There are different philosophies, I agree. We should work very hard, very strenuous. I worked with youth in this state for, I don't know, 10 years, I guess, pretty much in the educational side and then counseling and so on. And that's where we've got to concentrate our efforts. That's where we've got to turn kids around and save them, that is, protect them so that they don't become adult criminals. We've really got to put a lot of work and effort there. The argument made that originally moved them, they were part of corrections. They had been historically. The argument that was made that pulled them out of corrections and put them over into some other unit was that they were not getting adequate resources, that is, money, personnel, so on, buildings, whatever. We asked, when we were on the task force, we asked the juvenile personnel that we also talked to in our rounds whether they could show us if they had any additional resources as a result of that move. And there was absolutely no evidence whatsoever that they were any better off where they are now than where they were before.
The only argument I'm using, I don't need youth corrections. That's just another difficult area. There are escapes that take place there. There are some problems there. Kids are often more difficult to work with than adults. But it's not something that I'm requesting happen. I've answered your questions in saying that I think that my personal opinion is that it would be better efficiently operated and so on if it were all one unit. That's the only point I'm trying to make. I'm quite certain that Health and Social Services would be adamantly opposed. And we found in the task force divisions of opinion. There are some who are now working in youth corrections who would prefer to come back to the new department. There are others who like it exactly where they are now. So the opinions are split. And it's really something that if I had my choice, I think it's in the interest of efficiency, we should all be one unit. I certainly don't need the additional headache. So if it doesn't come, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But if it does, I think that we can give you some efficiency.
With that said, it's still my opinion that the committee should draw that substitute to make that amendment to 103, and we'll do it as quickly as possible, hopefully by next week. And I think the committee, doing philosophically, agrees with what we get up to the thing. And once we achieve that point, I think we can safely decide what to do with the Unit 54. And with that said, if you'd like to adjourn today, go tomorrow at 1:30.